Okay, so this is looking at performance from the other angle, from an application, rather than looking at it from inside Tickle Out. I work for Mentor Graphics, and so getting to be the last guy to go in the day, it's good to see that there's so many people here. People aren't wandering out to catch flights and do a little bit of last minute sightseeing. I hope I can keep you all here. The Mentor people do have chains hooking them to the desk to keep them from leaving. We're going to make sure that they at least stay here till the end. So I work for a product called Calibre at Mentor. It's an integrated circuit design analysis tool. And so there's a transistor, and it basically it's doing geometrical analysis. So it's looking at shapes like those and giving you information, doing various kinds of analysis on a layout that a customer designs. Specifically, I work for a product called Layout versus Schematic, LVS. And the design process, basically you start with a schematic that has things like transistors and wires and all that sort of thing. And you do a layout that just has basically shapes, and those shapes really don't apply to anything other than the manufacturing process. They tell you various things to do at various stages in the manufacturing process. And they're fairly disconnected. Hopefully there's some process that ties them together, but they can be different at the end. So that's where we come along. We come along and make sure that the layout and the schematic actually describe the same circuit for some definition of same, which can be a kind of a problem, but that's not what we're talking about today. And so one of the things you have to do is take all those shapes. We see this is a transistor, so we've got a gate and a couple of pins on it, and we want to figure out that those shapes mean that that's really a transistor, and that's a process we call device recognition. So basically allows the user to write some rules that say, this is what a device is. I want to turn these geometric shapes, say it is really a transistor. So here's kind of the overall picture of what Calibre looks like. From the top, there's a GUI, a traditional Tickle GUI that kind of drives the whole thing. A bunch of the people that are here in the back work on that. We have that's up here. We've got a rule language, so it's a kind of a geometric modeling language that you can use to create these rules that say how things work. Those are the kind of the things that drive it. We have a database that takes all these geometries and does analysis on them. That device extraction piece is the thing we're looking at today. Within there, you've got properties that you can calculate about these devices. So if we go back to our little device here. So we've got things like how wide is this thing? How long is the gate? What are the areas of these things? There's lots of things you can calculate about what this thing does. So to do that, users, of course, want to do different things with those properties. So we've got a script that actually runs inside this device extraction, and we call it, it's a built-in language. It's a very simple language, a little bit like a hand calculator almost. There's no stack or anything. It's got a little machine that runs. So we'll talk a little bit about what that does. So we got this built-in scripting language. Very, very simple. And it's also very fast. I mean, the simplicity leads to making it very fast. It's a byte compiled, interpreted user program. One of the aspects of this program is that you call functions to get things like the area, perimeters, a lot of different data that you can collect off of this device. So what it does is looks through that program to figure out what it's going to need to do, and it configures itself before you run to figure out what data it actually needs to collect before calling this program. And the capabilities of this calculation language are very simple. There is no loops, no kinds of allocation, no stacks. It's just really a lot like a hand calculator. Anyway, so some of the things that keep it fast are all these data and temporary variables are pre-allocated. Everything just kind of runs in memory that's all ready to go. The bytecode then runs as you find a device, as the analysis program recognizes that there's a device, I've got the shapes that I'm looking for, passes it off to this thing, and it runs the little script and gives you back some properties that you want to report back to the user. So here's what one of these scripts looks like. We tell it what we want is this length and width, and then we have a bunch of things that we're going to do to figure out the properties in various cases. We've got a conditional in there, but very, very simple. The programs themselves can end up being fairly long, but all very simple capabilities of adding and multiplying and calling these functions like area and the perimeter functions that are up there. And that all compiles down into a little virtual machine type program where we've got a table of variables, just like the registers in the calculator, and then we've got a bunch of instructions that would go through to run that program. So now what's happened, this thing was written about, at least 10 years ago, and sat and was hardly ever touched for the 10 years in between. And then just recently, as device sizes get smaller and smaller, people have been wanting more. They are finding that they need, in order to model a device and find out how it's going to behave when it's manufactured, you need more information than just these simple numbers that we've been able to get before. And now they want things like all these things in red here. They want to know how wide this is and how long it is. They want to break it up into chunks and get slices. So you end up with these sort of array types of measurements from these devices that they need to get now. And the old system was only able to deal with numbers. It didn't have any things in any way of representing arrays and that sort of thing. So the measurements are becoming more complex. There's no way to represent them as simple numbers, and they needed some kind of a summation capability. So you could go across various slices and add things up, that sort of thing. So we dove into that and said, okay, well, we'll implement that. We put a new function in that would give us this, and we gave them a way to sort of sum an expression across all the slices. And so that lasted for a while. But the sum specific, it handled the specific needs that they had at that point. But pretty soon people thought, oh, that's pretty cool. I can get all those numbers out of there. But now I want different things that I can do with the sum. I need a min and a max. I want to do some other arbitrary calculations, that sort of thing. So our little hand calculator was kind of bursting at the seams in terms of being able to actually handle these things. And So to describe the data basically what we wanted to do then is go and find a new way to do this, and we either add some capabilities to the scripting language, or do we look at some other language, so something like Tickle. So we looked at what the basic requirements are for this thing. We needed to be able to describe the data collection prior to execution. We don't want to say, have users say, okay, tell me everything you're going to do, and then later on do it in the script and hope you get the two lists in sync, that sort of thing. That we like our ability to go through this script and figure out everything they're going to ask and then have all that data for them right when they ask for it. We've got this built-in scripting engine is a fairly large chunk of code. And it's got a lot of data collection functions. Also, customers have used it very extensively over the years, and they have a lot of kind of invested time in this language. So they don't want to just throw that away if we say put a Tickle engine in place. We need to make sure that we get whatever data that we've collected into the script when it runs, and we need to make sure that we can get the results back in the form of some sort of a number. And then the performance is a critical issue. This is really at the center of the analysis for device extraction. And it's running multi-threaded. It's very performance sensitive. We can't have, even though this property calculation isn't very much in terms of the overall CPU that goes on, if we start throwing things in that add big latencies and that sort of thing, we would slow the whole thing down. We can't do that. So here's the who was it, Gerald yesterday said, do you have to have a Y tickle? So I have a Y tickle. There's really just one reason that tickle was chosen here. We didn't really consider anything else, and that is that tickle is already in our product, both driving it from the top, and we also have other user extensions. So users are already familiar with tickle, and they're using it to develop in that SVRF, the geometric manipulation language. So now, how did it work? How does this thing work? What we decided to do was basically add a capability to call tickle from our built-in language. So we added a new kind of function, which was TVF numeric function. TVF is our marketing speak for using tickle inside of our geometric SVRF language. So we call it tickle numfun for short, kind of like that. It allows you to call a tickle function from within this built-in language, is basically the way that we did this. So this is what it looks like. Where we had that sum before, now we have this tickle number function, and then we have some things to tell it where to find the function, and then the actual tickle proc that it's going to call. Actually, I did that backwards. This is the tickle proc, and this is the place to find it, and we find it on the next page, which is, this is our sort of way of embedding a little chunk of tickle in our SVRF. And there's a tickle proc that does actually the same thing that the sum function did previously, so we can actually do some sort of comparison of the performance. So look at our requirements. We've got a way now to make sure we can configure it beforehand. Since everything is being driven from the built-in language, we're able to figure out what data we need to collect the same way we did before, which is just look through the built-in script. We're able to leverage the existing scripting engine because basically they add tickle on incrementally, and they're still using the built-in scripts. We can get the data from the application into tickle by making it basically arguments in the tickle function or the tickle proc that you're calling. And then we get things back through return values. We are just still dealing with numbers in the return values, and those are the properties that we're going to report back to the user. So we just need to be able to return a single number from each function we call. And then the question is, what is our performance? Are we going to be able to meet that overall performance goal? So let's do some performance testing. Put together a test circuit that really emphasizes the scripting language into the performance. It's not a real world test case. So it's got 500,000 devices that run through this calculation script. It's got within each script there's three calls to tickle within each script, and then each of the calls goes through command objects to get data back from Calibre 10 times, so we get 5 million to kind of total round trips back to Calibre. This is a realistic device calculation. It's the real sort of thing that people are going to be using, or customers are going to be using. It's also the test case is multi-threadable. We can run it in basically 18 equal partitions, so we can run it on some MP machines and see what happens. And the other thing is I can using the same example before. I'll be able to write a tickle version and then that built-in sum version of the script and compare the performance of the plain built-in function by itself and the tickle version. So first thing we need to do is make sure we get things into tickle and run it efficiently. So we've got all the standard cast of suspects for how to call something from C into tickle, the tickle evals. So we start off with the simplest and easiest and the one they tell you not to use, tickle eval. And so there we see the performance lower is better of the built-in language versus tickle. And we can see already that even though we're not using the highest performance interface, we're not too bad. I mean, we've doubled the speed of this evaluation, but it hasn't blown it up, and we've got a lot of things we can do to speed things up. So now if we use the tickle eval global flag when we do the eval, we shave some time off. Now if you can see the yellow, it's just a, it's about 5% lower. And then use the turn on the byte compiler now, and we drop down even farther. So these functions are the improvements that they've made to tickle over time are actually helping us out here. Now, so and then I also compared tickle eval obj ex with tickle eval obj v, and that didn't really make much difference. So basically, the that's how the call in goes, and the question is, once you get there, how do we get back in to get this data out of the built-in machine? And the way we do that is with tickle command objects. And this is a little this slide is not in the proceedings. I did this last night. The PowerPoint animations are a really dangerous thing. So as we saw on the last, I've wasted more time on that than anything except for Adobe Premiere, which I also like to waste time with. So we have our execution thread. Our execution thread, we're recognizing devices, and this is where the main horsepower of the CPU is going right now. It's a lot of very intense calculations that go on there. And so before we start anything, we start setting things up, basically. So we're going to create this built-in language virtual machine, the compiled program, all the space for the array, or the arguments is sitting there. We haven't found any devices yet. If we're going to run tickle, we create a tickle interpreter, load all the procs in there. We also create some objects that allow us to call these procs with the right arguments. Set them all up. Everything is setting there. We create the tickle command objects that know how to get inside the VM and get the data out that we need. So that A1 and A2 time. So now what about threads? This is a threaded application, and it is a threaded application, and basically each thread is recognizing devices independently, and it runs with its own copy of the built-in engine, so built-in language engine. So how do the threads perform with tickle? What did it do with result with respect to the threads? And would it be better to use the empty tickle or the single-threaded tickle and, say, put a lock around the tickle interpreter when I'm doing these calculations? So here's another test case, a larger one that runs things in parallel, and you can see how the performance scales across processors from 1 to 8 processors. And you see that using the locked version, there's also, I use different versions of tickle because those are the ones we happen to have built. The 8.3 version ran a little bit faster. That's the single-threaded tickle built with the defines for no threads. But it also, because of the locking, tailed off faster, whereas the multi-threaded version started out a little slower, I assume because of some locking that's going on inside of the tickle, and then sped up a lot, scaled better. So the final performance numbers after all this, I tried it on real chips, and actually came out pretty good. The real chips are doing enough processing in the device recognizer that it didn't really impact the overall CPU time at all. So, and that's basically it. Any questions?
Did you notice a stark similarity between your inclusion of tickle code and critical? It looked kind of like that to me. Critical, you can include an inline, you can define a C proc that gets compiled.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not really familiar with critical, so I can't really.
Well, you can say. Define in critical, you can essentially define a block of C code.
Yeah.
If you're doing kind of the same thing, you're saying within my language here, define this chunk as tickle and put in the callbacks back.
So now how does critical interpret the C code, or does it compile it?
It runs a compiler
runs a compiler and shoves it out somewhere. Yeah. So we actually also created a C interface to this. We haven't released it though because of the sort of the logistical difficulties of having a customer use C and link it into your application. I mean, it's the technology's all there, but then you have interface issues and how do you tell them that they have to recompile stuff when they don't have the source code anymore and all those kind of things. So that was one of the reasons we were really hoping that Tickle would work for this is that you basically stick the stuff inside the rule file, it gets interpreted, and then the user doesn't have to keep track of anything where they're putting libraries and that sort of thing. So, and with the performance that we came up with, we decided that was the way we would go and not do anything with C, at least until some customer comes along with a 12-page Tickle script that they're running and it's going too slow, and then we have to release the C. So, any other? Yeah.
I'd be interested to see the numbers for 8.4 threaded versus non-threaded and/or 8.5.
Yeah. So I don't have 8.5.
Interesting to see numbers about that because.
Yeah, and we don't we haven't built an 8.4 threaded, although the it didn't seem to make much difference. Let's see, I did actually have a threaded 8.3, and it ran about the same speed as the threaded 8.4. So whatever we're doing in the small scripts that we're running, it didn't really seem to. I know there were bytecode performance improvements and that sort of thing in 8.4, but we didn't really seem to see them in this application.
Right, but a non-threaded 8.4 might also be interesting, and also a non-threaded and threaded 8.5 would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Overall comparisons among all of the.
What would you expect to happen there?
I would expect 8.4 to be a little slower than 8.3 and 8.5 to be a little slower than both.
Oh, really? The yeah?
I'm surprised that you'd expect that, but there's absolutely no indication for that. So.
Well, I mean, 8.5 has a lot more stuff that's been done in there in terms of complexity.
And that the 8.5, so yeah, only with dramatic addition of big numbers.
And expand.
Do those get in the way of the interpreter? I mean, this is really this is the stuff he was. You know, it's just it's getting into the interpreter from C, and then running something that's really quite short, and getting stuff to expert, and then getting into the objects, getting data back from those, and doing math on them. I mean, that's really all that's going on. So if it's stuff that doesn't get in that path, it shouldn't really hurt anything.
I thought the parser was more complicated than that too, but I guess not.
No, it's going to have a significant
effect. Yeah, the parsing all goes on up front. So that gets amortized way up front, and then this thing gets called, millions and millions of times. And all on compiled objects, that sort of thing.
And don't take any parsing hits with eval obj.
That's the whole point.
Right.
Yeah, that's why it's the best interface for this sort of thing.
Right. So, any other questions? Okay.